Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Hudsonville, Michigan. I'm glad you've joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging.
And there is authority. When we do the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, we do so because Jesus authorizes us to do it. Well, I don't know about you, but maybe you've noticed that baptism can be a controversial topic in our day and age. People often dispute about baptism. One theologian writes this. He says, "Over the centuries, Christians have debated what baptism means, who should receive it, and how much water should be used." It's tempting, with so much controversy around the sacrament of baptism or the Lord's Supper, to simply ignore it altogether and just not make use of it. There are some Christian groups that have actually given up on baptism. The Quakers and the Salvation Army, for example, just don't get involved with it. There are others. And sometimes you can understand why people just say, it doesn't matter, it's just too controversial. Why not give up on baptism altogether? And that brings us to our first point this morning from our text, and it's this. The answer, the reason we don't give up on baptism is because Jesus, our Savior, commanded it. Baptism pleases Jesus. This morning's baptism pleases Jesus. That's the first reason that we baptized our little Henry this morning, is because baptism pleases Jesus. You know, after many years, I've learned this saying is true. Love is as love does. Love obeys the Lord no matter the controversy, no matter the confusion, no matter the crisis. Love obeys the Lord. You may not always understand exactly what God or why God is telling you to do what you're doing. You may not always feel like doing what God in Christ tells you to do. But you see, dear church, love is not a feeling. Love is a decision with feelings that will come. As you keep following, as you keep praying, as you keep stimulating, those feelings will come. But dear church, Jesus makes it clear that if you love him, you will obey him. Kids, that's how we can always tell when you're loving mom and dad. One way to love mom and dad is to obey what mom and dad say. Mom and dad know that's a great sign you're loving and respecting them. And I can always tell when I'm loving God. You know why? It's when I listen and obey. Well, Jesus loved his Father, and he showed it by loving and obeying his Father, and then he shows us how we are to love and obey him. John 14, verse 15 says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." John 14, 21 says, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, they are the ones who love me." John 14, 23 says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching." Finally, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command." So this morning, we had an opportunity as a church to express public love to the Lord Jesus, and we honored him in this public baptism. Of course, that means that if we don't follow God in the command of baptism for ourselves or for our children, then we're not showing love to Jesus. The root reason we baptize is to please Jesus. And we publicly express our love to the Lord by presenting our little ones to Jesus. And we did that this morning. We engaged in pleasing Jesus. The second reason, number two, why we need baptism, why we pursued it even this morning and continue to do so, is that it is an important sign that reminds us each time we do it that we need to be clean people. We need to be washed people. We need to be cleansed people. Acts 22, verse 16 put it this way. He says, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." Baptism this morning, as we watch the water fall upon that child, reminds us that we all need cleansing. Do you remember, if you had children when they were little, how you constantly had to remind them that they had to clean up before mealtime? Some of you still are in that stage, and you have to remind the kids to wash up before lunch or dinner. Maybe they're out in the sandbox playing for a few hours. Maybe they're running around barefoot outside and really can accumulate some filth. Maybe they've just been playing, and they come in, and they're filthy, and they look like little hoodlums. And the thing is, but they don't know it. And they're ready to sit down at the table looking like filthy hoodlums, and you have to remind them, go clean up. Sometimes they need to wash their feet. Other times, wash their hands, wash their face. They're not coming to the table until they wash up. Dear church, God will not allow us to his table, to his feast, to his fellowship, into his holy presence until we are washed up and cleansed. Imagine with me for a moment going to a fine restaurant with your spouse or on a date, and you go to this fine restaurant and you are offered an exquisite meal, but that delightful food is placed on a filthy plate. You would be expected to say, take this food away. I don't care how good the food is. The plate is filthy. So it is with God. The scripture tells us that if we approach God, but the plate of our life has an anti-God attitude, or if we have an anti-neighbor attitude, if we have an anti-do-what-is-right attitude, the Bible calls that by a name. The Bible calls that sin. It calls it transgression. It calls it iniquity. And that kind of attitude angers God. It disgusts God. And he is right to judge it. He finds it filthy when the lives he has given us cause us to be proud or selfish, or if our nastiness is pervasive and offensive to him. He recoils at it, just like you and I might when we see grime and filth on our dinner plate. You know, a few times that happened to me when I was growing up. In the early days of dishwashers, I remember when we first got our dishwasher, and I remember our first microwave. Actually, the microwave took up the entire countertop, and it really did look like something from a spaceship. But our first dishwasher, we were so excited to have it. But I remember many times the dishwasher didn't quite get all that caked in scum off of a plate, and we would find it at the dinner table. And there would be an uproar, and my mom would insist, you know, there might be grime on that plate, but it is clean grime. Well, that didn't cut it for us. We still took the plate back. We didn't buy it for a moment, but neither does God. Sometimes we think our grime is clean grime. It's not as bad as the next guy. It's not as bad as I have been in the past, or it's not as bad as I could be. It's clean grime, God. Eat off the plate. But the Bible says when God sees grime in our lives, an anti-God, anti-neighbor, self-consumed attitude and actions, the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against it. Romans 1 verse 18 says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, which is our bad vertical attitudes about God, and against all wickedness, that is, all of our horizontal words, acts, and deeds against our neighbor. Romans 1:32 goes on to say that God's decree is that those who do such things deserve to die. Romans 2:5 concludes, when God's righteous judgment will be revealed, there will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil. And so this morning, what that water we looked at symbolized is that we all need heavenly washing. We need guilt removed. We need character washed and cleansed. As the old hymn writer put it, be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt and power. We need cleansing. We need power. And that's what water does. A bath or a shower or a hand washing. It removes the dirt and it refreshes us and makes us feel better. You look clean, you smell clean. Others can stand you now and you feel grand. That's what baptism symbolizes that we need through Jesus. Energized, fresh, enriched. This brings us to our third and final reason why we need baptism. And we mentioned that this morning as we received little Henry. The third reason we need baptism is that it settles our place in the church. Acts 2:41 says, those who accept his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the church that day. And so this morning, a baptism we observed was a ritual initiation of little Henry into the covenant community. He's in. It adds him to the church. His name is on the roll. He now has pastors and elders and people who know him and claim him by name. You belong to us. We belong to you. Together, we belong to God. And this brings countless blessings. What that child enjoyed this morning and what you have enjoyed as baptized, if you are a baptized member of the church, the blessings you have received are innumerable. One of them is that we can include you in all of the one another commands in the Bible. When you are part of the church, you belong to a community to whom God has commanded to love each other, to pray for each other, to accept one another, to encourage one another, to admonish one another, to greet one another, to serve one another, to teach each other, to be devoted to one another. I could go on. There's over 50 one another passages in the New Testament alone. And that came with little Henry's church membership this morning. We encourage him and build him up. I enjoyed that as a child. I didn't know it as a child. I just accepted what I had. But as an adult, I look back and I see the tremendous privileges of being in his church. Many of you are in the church. You've been in the church many years. You've enjoyed it. You enjoy God as Father, Christ as elder brother, we as family serving one another. What a privilege. Not only that, another benefit Henry received this morning is he is in a church that now must help him discover and develop his spiritual gifts. God has a unique role for little Henry in the church, and for you too, and it is for us, the church, to help you understand it. It's called your ministry. Everyone in Christ's church has a ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one a gift is given for the church's common good. It's our job to help you discover it, help you use it, help you put it into use in the kingdom of God. Maybe you'll try something and it doesn't work out so well. And we'll say, well, maybe try something else. Or maybe you will try something and it works out great and we'll say, keep on going, sis, you're doing a great job. Some of you are hands. Some of you are feet. Some of you are eyes. But one thing is for certain, the Spirit works through them all in the church. Baptism initiates you into the body of Christ. One final blessing we'll remember this morning for Henry as he's in the church. Not only is he the object of our one anothering, not only are we trying to help him find his gifts, but one important blessing that in particular Henry will enjoy as he ages is that the church helps you to not fall away from Jesus. You know that many of us are but one bump from falling off the wagon of faith. Given the right circumstances, any of us could do exactly what Peter did the night of his betrayal and say, I do not know him. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And so when little Henry came into the church this morning, suddenly he's not allowed to say, mind your own business, because we can't. He is our business. We're called and commanded to love one another and be involved in each other's lives. Hebrews 3:13 says, encourage one another daily so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so when you're in Christ Church, if you or even I begin to waver, the church steps in. Godly leaders are praying. God gives pastors and elders the job, the privilege to pray for you, to guard and defend and care for you. Hebrews 13:7 says, pastors, watch over your soul because they know they are accountable to God. Satan has his eye on you. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Satan sees you as a moving target, would love to divide and conquer you. But when you're initiated into the church of Christ, the gates of hell tremble because they cannot prevail. Well, there are so many more blessings that this little one enjoyed this morning. There's not enough time in the service to cover them all. But there have been some we've dealt with today. This morning, this baptism pleased Jesus. And this morning, this baptism signified his and our need to be clean. And baptism initiated this little one into the church of Christ. May God bless this sacrament this morning as administered by his church. And let us all say, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So long ago, we need so many means to brand it into our lives. Your word, the sacraments, and prayer. Thank you for your church into which this child has been initiated. And thank you for all who are under the roof of your church and its many corners of the globe. We pray that you would bless your church. We pray that all who are under her protection and care would be drawn nearer to Christ and built up. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We ask this in Jesus' name. And let us all say, amen.
This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, one of the newest churches in a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We meet weekly for worship in the Hudsonville Christian Elementary School. Our services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151. Or on the church website at www.cedarchurch.net.